Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I'm Ryan Whiteman. I'm married into the Rosedale family. I'm from Canterbury Way, is probably where I'd call home. Born overseas, couple of Kiwi parents. Met Hannah through camps at Queenstown, so that was pretty cool. We met there, we got engaged there, we got married there, so yeah. And then I guess as the Lord is a light into our path and a lamp into our feet, kind of opens doors and takes you different places. Certainly probably about a year ago, a lot of doors were open pointing us down here. So I'm working for the Richardson group down here, but there's probably about a dozen things that all sort of lined up for the move. So it's pretty cool to see, I guess, to trust in the Lord and have him open those doors and make those things clear. So it's pretty cool. That's what's brought us down south. So lovely to be here, and I'd like to say I brought the last summer with me, but I think Southland's certainly putting on a show, so it's good. Loving our time down here. I will flick over here. So yeah, Here we go. We're into it. So yeah, Neville called me up a while ago and asked if I wanted to share and to speak. He put the icing on the cake when he said it was sort of a school holiday service, so we have the kids involved and whatnot. That's something that I was quite enthusiastic about. So we're going to talk a little bit today. We're going to go back to basics a wee bit. We're going to talk about the gap. Anyone want to hazard a guess as to what kind of gap that we're talking about here? There's going to be a lot of interaction here, and I'm probably going to walk away from the mic because that's what I do. But I'll use my my ex-military parade voice where I can. Sorry? Jeans? A bit of fashion, possibly. Between us and God. Yeah. And what is that gap? What's created that gap? Sin. Yeah, that's right. So we're going to have a wee bit of a talk about that. So I guess there's three points that I've been pondering that sort of led me down this path of this is where I wanted to go with this morning. I wasn't given a passage. I was kind of, Neville said, just go with something you've been thinking about. So I thought that's pretty cool. Not every day you get an opportunity like that. So we've been hearing a lot in the morning service through videos and different mediums about the theme of sharing the gospel. Obviously a very important part of what we do. But also something we're called to do. So we'll go through some verses shortly, so get your sword drill ready. About Christ's commission to us to be sharing the gospel. With that, we're going to explore a bit of a simple way to share the gospel. So we're going to use a bit of an illustration, the Wordless Book, some of you will be familiar with that. But also a practical example that sort of stuck with me. Probably the best part of 12 years ago, I was involved in Child Evangelism Foundation Ministries. So we used to run children's camps during the school holidays for underprivileged kids that were identified through their principals and various community workers. And the idea was to take the kids out of their homes that they were in and give their parents a break, but also have an opportunity to share the gospel with these kids. So these are illustrations and practical things that we used to practically share the gospel, certainly in line with the theme that Rosedale's been operating under. There is going to be a bit of involvement for the kids, so if you kids want to make your way up to these front couple of rows, give you a bit of a view of what's going on, that's cool. If you don't want to, that's alright as well. There's also be an opportunity to expend some energy as well. So someone want to pick up Matthew 25:19. I'm going to get someone to read the first three. We're not going to get someone to read all of Acts. I haven't got a reference there for Acts, but we'll talk about that when we get to that. So if someone can stand up. I'd prefer a parent or a someone that's been a parent or an older person to share these verses too, because I think it's pretty powerful for our kids and our grandkids to hear it from ourselves and hear it from people that they look up to. So Matthew 25:19. I'll give you a tip. All these verses are near the end of the books. I'm going to flick mine now. It's all right. Yeah, no, so we're in Matthew 28. That's a great start, isn't it? I'll read it. I'll give you this one for free, and hopefully the rest work out. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, his followers, about what we're called to do. We'll try Mark 16:15. Yeah, if you wouldn't mind. Yeah, that's right. Into all the world. That includes Invercargill. Hannah wanted me to put that in there as well, because we're probably about as far away from on the globe as where this word was written. Verse 16 also continues, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And that's a little bit ominous, so we'll go into that a little bit more. Luke 24:46. We'll pick on someone else. Thank you, Murray. Can we carry on? Yeah. The word, I've got a New King James, which is slightly worded different, but the intent is all very much the same. I'll read through this one. "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So we've got three distinct counts here, of, you know, three out of the four Gospels to begin with, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, talking about this key part as Christ is leaving to share the Gospel. John has something similar, obviously, at the end of his book, but we'll go into that a little bit later on. Acts is important because, well, we've been sort of talking about this as part of our men's group on a Monday night. Half of Acts is dedicated to tracking Paul as he goes around sharing the gospel in the early church. So I guess it's a pretty important and pretty imperative thing that we should be doing while we're on earth, stemming from that gap. I'm hoping the colour comes up all right. What colour does that look like? This will be a test of my artistic skill. Gold, yes. Gold. So gold is the first colour of the wordless book. And does anyone want to hazard a guess as to what gold represents? Purity, yeah. Heaven, yeah. King, yeah. Yeah. It's perfection, right? So there was a time before sin when everything was good. Genesis 1:1-4. Someone want to read that one out? Key part in there is God saw that it was good. That's not, you know, how are you feeling today? I'm good. No, it's good in the sense that there was nothing wrong. It was only good, and hence the gold. There was actually a time, and I won't make you read Genesis 3:8, but 3:8 is it's when Adam and Eve are actually hiding from God because they've just taken the fruit and sin has entered the world. But we can see in Genesis 3:8 specifically, it talks about God walking through the Garden of Eden. So it's just showing, illustrating that time that we were actually together. There was a closeness between God and people. Then what happened? This is a slide too, by the way. I haven't turned it off. Sin entered the world. Yeah, so we've got the colour black up there. And the black is that representation of sin. So what we're going to do, is sort this out. So we would describe sin to, the way we would explain it to the kids at camps was anything that you either think, say, or do that displeases God. And that creates a gap between, that has created the gap between us and God. For the physics people among you, for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. For every action that we do, something happens. If that's a good thing, you'd like to think something good happens. If something bad happens, there's generally what we call a consequence, which has a negative connotation, or it implies something bad's happened. So the consequences of sin, I'm going to go through Romans 6:23. Someone got that one for me. What is the consequence of sin happening? We've talked about the gap, but what is that actually? I'll elaborate a little bit more. Sorry? Yeah. That's right, the wages of sin are death and eternal separation from God. That's pretty serious stuff now we're talking about. So we've established what sin is. Who has sinned though? That's Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not, you know, one or two of us, or maybe everybody else that doesn't go to church. No, that's everybody. We're all in the same boat. We're all separated by a gap from God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Does anyone want to try and jump that gap? We'll get some kids up. I'm gonna put 2 points out. Doesn't have to be kids too.
It's not that far, really. I mean, you can run across that in quite a short time, but if you just start behind the chair, I'll show you. I'll give you an example. We're going to start from here, we're going to run, I'm just going to jump, and we're going to land just past that post there. Do we reckon we can do it? You've got to try, right? Absolutely, we need to try. Yes!
You gotta land just past the music stand. Come on. That's a good effort. Have a seat. Or you can keep trying. I'll carry on. That's no problem. Can we even get close? No, we can't. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we can do that'll close that gap. Surely coming to church every day is a good thing to do, right? Oh, every Sunday, I should say. Coming to church every Sunday is pretty good. If we do that for our whole lives, would that get us across the gap? No. What if we earn a lot of money? What if we earn a lot of money and give a lot of money? To God, surely we can buy our way into heaven. Is that something we can do? This is the key difference from between Christianity and every other religion, right? Is in every other religion it's about balancing your works. You can balance your good deeds and your bad deeds, and hopefully at the end of it, when you're before God, that he'll say, yeah, you've done enough, and you can be let in. Why Christianity has a lot of hate on it, I guess, is because we can't. And Christianity talks about it's nothing that we can do. We can't do anything. We're actually in a hopeless situation. Fortunately, there's a way out. This is the next colour, red. What does this represent? Blood of Christ. So in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So Jesus, who is the Son of God, chose to come to earth. He became a man and he lived on the earth and he did no sin. He did not commit sin. But he was still put to, put to death on the cross and he paid the price for our sin. So Jesus took the consequence for our sin, that wage of sin that is death for us, Christ took that for us. So what's that done? I couldn't get the words to work on the red screen very well. That would look good. That's 3:16. Does someone read John 14:6? That's exactly right. That's that key part. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no way to get into heaven or to close that gap except through Christ. So what Christ has done,
he's taken this huge gap that we have here, and he's actually brought it a lot closer.
Good stuff. Hey, well, you just don't hurt yourself. Neville might have to write up a whole lot of paperwork if that happens. I guess for the sake of time, I'm not actually sure how far I've gone. But John 3:16, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So God has actually closed that gap. He's brought that gap right down. But there is still a bit of a gap there. Where it was not possible before, Christ has now provided a bridge and a way across. And that means that we don't have to be eternally separated from God. We don't have to take on that full consequence of sin. But I guess the difference is we still need to take a step. We still need to take that step for ourselves. We need to believe in our hearts that we are sinners and ask Jesus into our hearts as our Saviour to forgive our sins. God knows our thoughts and our hearts. We can hide things from each other, but nothing is hidden from God. Luke 12:7, but the hairs on your head are numbered. God knows how many hairs are on your head. There is no hiding from God. And that is probably gives the gravity to the situation, right? He knows how many hairs are in our head. He knit us together in our mother's wombs. God desires that none should perish, but it is up to us to accept that. It's up to us to accept what Jesus has done for us and for him to be our personal saviour. We have to personally take that step. No one can do it for us. We can't follow our parents or our grandparents into heaven. We can't ride on their coattails. I had a wonderful discussion with Dale Wairau a few weeks ago when he was here. And he talked about, people saying, oh, I'm a third or fourth generation Christian, and it didn't sit well with him. It doesn't sit well with me either, because it's not about what your ancestors or your parents or grandparents did before you. It's actually about you having that personal relationship with God yourself. And that's pretty exciting. It's not that second or third step of separation. It's actually us individually having that relationship with God, and that's pretty incredible. And what happens when we do take that step? This is also supposed to be in here, it's not another blank slide. What does the white represent? Cleansing, yeah, purity. It's that clean. I've been washed by the blood of Christ and now whiter than the snow. Jesus has taken that consequence for us. What happens next? Oh, sorry. There we go. We got the stick man on the right-hand side. He's taken the step. He's believed in him, and he shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What comes next? Green. What does green mean? Southland is a very green place.
Growing.
Yeah, we need to grow and we need to share. It's wonderful that we've found Christ. We're on that right side, but there are many others that aren't. There's still a lot of people still on that other side of that gap. So the gap's still closed, but they need to take that step. Last week we heard about an ice cream truck and also an ice cream chiller breaking down. Nigel shared with us that story as well. And that parallels obviously the gospel. It was some relatively good news. This ice cream was now going for free. And we should go and share and tell people about it. I'm going to say that not everybody wants ice cream, and that's okay. And I think that can be one of the most challenging things about sharing the gospel. Is what if people say no, or they reject us, or say I don't want anything to do with this good news that you tell me about. That's okay. Each individual person has to make that own decision. Jesus wishes that none should perish, but we still are given that freedom of choice. We can still make that decision. And I'd argue that, yeah, Jesus wants us to make that decision for ourselves, because that's how we enter that relationship. A relationship's a two-way conversation, right? How do we do that? We lean on the Bible and the Holy Spirit. We know that God is with us. We gather, we read the Bible. We learn from each other using the Bible. Where the world is always changing and can be quite confusing, especially in this day and age, there can only be chaos and confusingness. Confusingness, I made that word up. I'll keep that one. But we have the rock that is God, right? We have that firm foundation. And it's not always going to be easy, but that's the way things are. If we round out with John, it's about sharing, also about growing. John 21, talking to Peter, Jesus says, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep." Being Southerners and farming being quite a substantial part of life down here, we obviously start as lambs and grow up as sheep. We're called to grow the flock. We're not supposed to all remain little lambs running around. We need to actually get older and stronger and be in a position to share. So it's pretty important that we share the gospel, and that's pretty phenomenal for Rosedale to keep chipping away at that, because that's ultimately what we've been called to do, right? For those of us that are Christians, we've taken that step. We understand the predicament that we're in, that we are sinners. And that we need Christ, and Christ is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. None shall go to the Father except through him. And hopefully you can take that analogy away. I know it's quite a simple one of just moving two pieces further and closer apart, but it's a pretty clear illustration. Where things are at, and pretty good to ponder on. Wordless Book is another really, really simple but powerful message and way to show stuff. With those simple colours, there's no words, it's just the colours, but it's what those colours represent, in the same way that the stories and Jeremy shared last week about how you can use stories to explain and draw parallels. So I'm hoping and trusting that you might be able to take some elements out of that in your day-to-day and how you think about sharing the gospel. I don't know how I'm going for time, but maybe we'll close it there. John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Christ has overcome it for us. It's not our battle to fight. We don't have to wrestle with it. We know that Christ has the victory, and we just need to follow and trust in him. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time that we can come together. I thank you, Lord, for what you did on the cross and taking our sins. Thank you, Lord, that you provided a way across the gap. Amen.
Amen.